the soundtrack of The Breakfast Club. Probably, other than Simple Minds, a pretty weak soundtrack. And what they actually said on the review of the soundtrack, I have a critical response to that. The Village Voice music critic Robert Krischko gave the album a D- and said it has utterly negligible songs, and commended Simple Minds for trying to distance themselves from the rest of the album. The album is largely considered disposable and marred by 80s artifacts and forgettable instrumentals. But this is the part where they're whistling in the background. It's not a great soundtrack, other than Simple Minds.
And it's funny because at that part when they're whistling, John Bender looks a lot like Johnny Depp's character in the Pirates of the Caribbean, mm-hmm. with the bandana over his head. Every time I see that now, that's all I think of.
You are listening to WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts. It is Watch This with myself. My guest is Frank Cotton today. We are doing Frank's Five Flicks. We are on flick number two, The Breakfast Club. We're going to pause for a moment and do an identification break and a PSA, and we will be back with flick number three.
To go to the lavatory.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke. When I woke up, I couldn't speak or walk.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
182 over 100, and I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest, and then a stroke. Everything changed. It felt like my life was over.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke. If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
180 over 110, and I had a stroke.
And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If you've come off your treatment plan, get back on it, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe. Everything's changed. Head to toe.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council. Work the goal,
let's get it on. Yo, what up? Yo, this is Ghostface. You're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5. Y'all know what it is. One. With coke and a dollar bill, stems and crack capsules.
Mr. Pink.
Who cares what your name is?
Yeah, that's easy for you to say. You're Mr. White. You have a cool-sounding name.
Let's go to work. Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling there's something right.
What happens if the manager won't give you the diamonds?
Cut off one of his fingers. The little one. I'm so scared because I'm falling on a chair.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. If they hadn't done what I told them not to do, they'd still be alive. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face.
I'm all over the place. You're acting like a first-year thief. I'm acting like a professional. And your family.
Doing 10 years, taking out some stupid money. Ain't no choice at all.
Bam.
Bam. Bam, 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 bam.
You're under arrest, sugar.
Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth, Chris Penn, Steve Buscemi, Lawrence Tierney, and Michael Madsen. They're the Reservoir Dogs.
Hey, Joe, let me shoot this guy.
Joe Egan and Jerry Rafferty were a duo known as Steeler's Wheel when they recorded this Dylan-esque pop bubblegum favorite from April of 1974. That reached up to number 5 as K-Billy Super Sounds of the 70s continues. Turn the Beat Around by Vicky Sue Robinson, Heaven on the Seventh Floor, La Freak by Chic, Fly Robin Fly by The Silver Connection, and now number 5.
Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka.
All right, flick number three is from 1992. It's Reservoir Dogs. Quentin Tarantino's very first directorial debut. That's his movie.
And what a movie it is.
Yeah, it's wild. And of course it got more notoriety after Pulp Fiction, which came out in 94. Still one of the best movies of all time, in my opinion, Pulp Fiction.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, we talked about this. So this is a great one, though, too, because this also has a fantastic soundtrack.
Oh, absolutely.
And Quentin Tarantino does a great job putting together his music with the movies like Scorsese does and Oliver Stone. And, you know, it's just a great soundtrack from the 70s here.
It's funny. I think it actually, not just with this, but, you know, even with some of his other stuff, like with Pulp Fiction, introducing a lot of the older music to the younger generation.
Yeah. That was one of the things that he did, you know. He had that coolness about him where he could actually put together like these old songs nobody knew about, and then all of a sudden, you know, you got all these teenagers listening to this soundtrack from the 70s that, you know, unless you grew up in the 70s, you really didn't know half of these songs, you know.
He makes it work.
So it's a crime drama thriller, and I would argue a comedy, you know, because there's a lot of funny stuff in it.
There are a lot.
It's directed by Quentin Tarantino, written by Quentin Tarantino. Stars Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth, Michael Madsen,
and Steve.
And Tarantino shows up too. He's not a very good actor. I will say that about him. He's never a very good actor. He's pretty good in the Four Rooms one though. The Man from Hollywood. He's pretty good in that one. But in this one, and like From Dusk Till Dawn, and you know, even his small role in Pulp Fiction, it's like, oh yeah, there's the director making an appearance for himself.
I actually think Scorsese's mother does a better job.
Oh, absolutely.
In her movies, Goodfellas, and everything else. That he does, but you know, you have to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? It's like write it and direct it. It's like you really have to show up in it you give yourself a leading role. Yeah. You know, at least he gets killed off pretty quick
Right.
But he does have that great monologue about Madonna in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the whole thing at the table at the beginning with the tipping thing with Steve Buscemi, which is great. Which for some reason they call him Buscemi.
Right.
I don't know if you noticed that in the trailer, but they called him Buscemi. But I think it's always been Buscemi.
Well, maybe in 92 before he was really anybody.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah,
whatever.
It was before Fargo and all that and all the other flicks that he finally got into. So it's got an 8.3 out of 10 on IMDb. So it's one of the top rated movies. It's in the top 250. It's rated number 76. It had 12 awards. 12 award wins and 22 nominations for a number of screenwriting, editing, best picture, best director. He had all these things come up, and not on the Academy Awards, but all these other film festivals and stuff. So it basically put him on the map, and he quit his film school of working at the video store and became a professional script writer and director.
A wise choice considering the no more video stores.
That is correct. Yeah. Yep, that is true. In the background, little green bag from the soundtrack of Reservoir Dogs. Chris Penn also showed up. Sean Penn's brother, of course, who later died just a few years later.
Overdose, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, in 2006, he was 40 years old. And he passed away. He's pretty good in this. He's great in that one with Clint Eastwood, too. Pale Rider. You ever see that? It's like from 85.
Yeah.
So he shows up.
Jeez, I didn't realize
as a teenager in that. Yep.
I remember he got his nose broken in a fight in Footloose.
That's right. He's Willie.
He was singing. He was singing Up on the Roof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He also shows up in True Romance, and also the great movie Shortcuts. You ever see that movie, Robert Altman?
I have.
It's awesome flick. So anyway, Reservoir Dogs, 1992, Quentin Tarantino's first movie, ultra violent. The scene with Harvey Keitel and Tim Roth is heartbreaking at the end when Harvey
Keitel finally realizes
you know, his buddy isn't who he is who he thought. And Michael Madsen is just stone cold.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much the same guy Travolta is in Pulp Fiction. Yeah. He's Vincent Vega.
It's funny because they actually there's a reference in Pulp Fiction to his brother.
Right.
I want to say. And I think there's also a connection in The Natural Born Killers as well.
There is. He created like a little universe, and a few of the people in Natural Born Killers, and as well as True Romance and Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs. He names like a lot of the same people or references. There's also a thing with like Red Apple cigarettes or something like that that shows up in like a few different movies. Like Bruce Willis gets them in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And I think Keitel gets them in this movie So yeah, they are kind of rolling around. And there's also theories on who Harvey Keitel is in the other movies, and is he really Winston Wolfe in Pulp Fiction? You know, is he Mr. White and then Winston Wolfe in the other movie? Is it the same character and stuff? But yeah, it's really cool. I mean, the scene with Michael Madsen and the cop is just iconic. And it's just the first time you see that, you're like, wow.
Oh, for
this
sure.
This is brutal.
For
it's
sure.
like, this is crazy. And I'm not going to give away the store there for people that haven't seen the movie. But if you know Quentin Tarantino, you know it's pretty rough ride in some parts.
I love that. And what's amazing about that scene is the cinematography. It's like all done in one mm-hmm. in one scene, right?
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
From in the warehouse, and you know, while Stuck in the Middle with You is playing, right?
Right.
And just that whole scene, just following him out to his car, opening up the trunk, getting what he needs to get, going back inside, and just it's just
completely torturing, you know, the cop that he's gotten there to Stuck in the Middle with You. And it's just one of those things. It's like when you hear that song now, it's like you think about
that's
this movie.
That's all you think about,
you know. And so those of you that don't know, the plot is, after a simple jewelry heist goes wrong, the surviving criminals begin to suspect that one of them is a police informant. So they're trying to figure out who's who. And what's interesting about this is it's a heist movie, but you never see the heist.
Well, you don't see the actual heist itself. You see the fallout from the heist as mm-hmm. they're running down the street and they have the bag.
Right.
And it's funny because I always associated that heist that went down in this movie, what you don't see, very similar to the heist you see in Killing Zoe.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you've seen that.
I saw that years ago. I don't remember it very well.
So that's just interesting. But yeah, you're right. You don't actually see the heist go down. You don't see them inside the bank or anything like that. You just see the fallout from it afterwards. The immediate aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they said, you know, one minute they weren't there, and then the next minute they were there.
So you remember what Quentin Tarantino's name was? His color?
Mr. White.
He was Mr. Brown.
Oh, Tarantino. Yes.
Yeah. Mr. White was Keitel. Mr. Pink was Steve Buscemi. And Mr. Blonde was Michael Madsen.
Yeah.
That guy's wacky. He's great,
he's
though.
He's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great in Kill Bill, too, as well. That he buries her in Bill.
Yeah, he's been in a few
Bill. He's like the one that actually beats the bride, right? Yeah, in Kill Bill 2.
Yes, and he actually had a TV show for a little while. I think maybe for a season or two.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he got in some trouble with some substance abuse, which was too bad. But hopefully, straightened out now.
Yeah,
I do like him though.
I do too.
And The Hateful Eight.
Well, he showed up in Hateful Eight too. He's Joe Gage in Hateful Eight. That was cool. I mean, I like all Quentin Tarantino movies. I think I wish he kind of, I don't want to say grew up and matured a little more, but it's like Hateful Eight was well done, but it wasn't anything we really hadn't seen before. You know?
Right.
That was the thing. It's like, yeah, some characters, great.
You had a lot of surprises in Reservoir Dogs. You didn't know what to expect. Pulp Fiction, it's all over the place because it doesn't play out in order as The Breakfast Club did, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of piecing stuff together. But yeah, by the time this rolled around, there was nothing new. Great movie, though.
Yeah, it is. And the thing that's interesting about, you know, Tarantino is you pretty much have to talk about some of his other movies while you're talking about one.
Because
they overlap, and he has a lot of the same themes and a lot of the same, you know, neat little things that he does with the camera and with the dialogue especially, you know. Just a great screenwriter.
And it's funny, he's always, we could do a whole show just on directors. But it's funny, though, how he does leverage the same actors in his other films, whether it was Uma Thurman and Kill Bill, Sam Jackson, or whoever it might be, Michael Madsen. You see these characters pop up. You see these actors pop up in his films.
Mm-hmm.
They do such a good job.
You know what's one that I love, too, is True Romance. You ever see that one?
Slater?
That was True Romance, Christian Slater. He wrote that.
Okay.
Yeah, so Patricia Arquette and Gandolfini shows up in it.
Okay.
And Gandolfini,
I'll have to go back to that one.
Gandolfini is actually one of the guys that's from Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction too. Like his character in True Romance is like one of the guys.
One of those type of characters.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's a great, great flick. And I love Jackie Brown, too. Jackie Brown's a great movie.
You know, I don't remember ever seeing Jackie Brown.
No? It's got Robert De Niro in it.
Yeah.
Pam Grier.
I remember when it came out after Pulp Fiction.
The bag of money, the bag of diamonds. Yeah, it's a great, great flick. If you haven't seen that one, that was the one right after Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I remember Dusted Dawn. That one kind of caught me by surprise also, because the whole first half of that movie was all, you know, typical movie.
Yeah.
It started at the border, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's vampires all over the place.
Yeah.
It was just like, yeah, that was something that surprised me, which hatefully didn't. But, you know, kind of back to Reservoir Dogs, though. Yeah, just a very, very powerful powerful movie that was. That scene with Mr. Orange, when Tim Roth is in the back of the car right after the heist, you know, and the situation is he's been shot in the belly. He's bleeding profusely all over this car that happens to have a pure white interior. You know, blood's coming out of him, and,
He's fantastic in it, too. Because he's pretty much shot the entire movie.
The whole movie.
Yeah, so he's, in pain the whole movie.
The whole movie. There's actually one part in it, he's kind of quiet, and that's when Buscemi shows up over at the warehouse. And he's talking, and actually, was it him or was it Madsen? But he's talking to Mr. White in the bathroom, and he's out in the other room. He's kind of quiet, but, you know, he's still in pain out there rolling around. But yeah, he just did a great job.
Yeah, it's a great flick. Reservoir Dogs, it's flick number 3. We got 2 more. We're going to talk about Natural Born Killers. We're going to talk about a movie called Judgment Night coming up here on Watch This. Let me leave you with a little bit of the Reservoir Dogs soundtrack, and then we'll be back in a moment. We're going to do our alpha genre movie quiz today with Frank as well. Pause before we do flicks 4 and 5, flicks 4 and 5, and I'm gonna give Frank the alpha genre movie quiz of the day. This one has actually been recycled. I was gonna do an action quiz for you, but I didn't finish it. So what I'm doing is I'm recycling my old horror movie quiz from a few weeks ago. Derek Gary had this one. He scored 8 out of 10 on this, so he won himself a DVD. The DVD today, of course, I forgot to bring it, but the DVD that you could potentially win, Frank, is The Wizard of Oz from 1939.
Awesome.
All right. If not, it's a WMFO sticker. If you get anywhere, eight or less.
I mean, am I really losing either way?
No, you're not. Not in any way. You can get that. So basically, 10 of them are multiple choice, and then 11 or 12, you have to give a full answer. Those are the bonus questions. But all you need to get is 8 or above. Are you ready for the alpha genre movie quiz for the day?
Is there a time limit, like a $25,000 pyramid?
Nope, no limit at all.
Awesome.
And in the background, we have the Avengers Infinity War playing in the background, a recent big hit, great movie. So the horror movie, in 1922, Nosferatu was the unauthorized adaptation of Bram Stoker's Dracula, which was first published in what year? And again, these are multiple choice, the first 10. Was Dracula first published in 1886, 1897, 1904, or 1918?
What were the first two?
1886 or 1897?
We'll go with 1897 on this one.
That is correct. All right, in The Bride of Frankenstein from 1931, this character is a renegade mad scientist who persuades Henry Frankenstein to resume his experiments with bringing dead flesh to life. He also delivers the famous toast to a new world of gods and monsters midway through the film. Is it Dr. Frankenstein, Dr. Victorious, Dr. Pretorius, or Dr. Clitorius?
Dr. Frankenstein, wasn't it?
It is Dr. Pretorius. That is incorrect. It was Dr. Pretorius. In The Omen from 1976, it was nominated for two Academy Awards, one for the Best Original Score and another for the Best Original Song. It won the Oscar for the score, which was this composer's only Oscar win. Was it Howard Shore, Jerry Goldsmith, Alan Silvestri, or Elmer Bernstein?
I'm going to eliminate Alan out of that right off the top.
Yeah, he's more modern, that's right.
Yeah. Go through this list again with
Howard Shore, Jerry Goldsmith, or Elmer Bernstein.
And this is The Omen. I'm going to have to go with Howard Shore on this one.
This is incorrect. It was Jerry Goldsmith.
Oh, darn.
That's all right. Doing okay. It's 1-3 so far. Which actor does not appear in Creepshow from 1982? Adrian Barbeau, Leslie Nielsen, Nick Nolte, or Sam from Cheers?
I know Sam from Cheers was in it because I remember he was up to his neck.
That's right.
In trouble at the beach. Leslie Nielsen was also in it.
That's right. He was the nemesis of Sam from Cheers.
Yes.
Yes.
Who wheeled the VCR out on the television.
With I love that one.
With an 8,000-foot extension cord running back.
I can hold my breath for a long time. Yes. Yeah. Adrian Barbeau or Nick Nolte?
Nick Nolte looked like he could have been in it when he got arrested a few years later, but I don't believe he was in it.
That is correct. You got that one right. Adrienne Barbeau shows up in The Crate. She's the one that's eaten by the monkey in The Crate.
Yes.
She's the bad wife that's eaten by the monkey. Who directed Poltergeist from 1982? Was it Steven Spielberg, Stephen King, Stephen Wright, or Tobe Hooper?
Steven Spielberg, Stephen Wright. Definitely not Stephen Wright.
Stephen King or Tobe Hooper?
It's not Stephen King. Is he the A or D? I don't believe it was Spielberg. I'm going to go with D on this one.
That is correct. Tobe Hooper directed Poltergeist. Steven Spielberg was the executive producer. In Halloween from 1978, what are the names of Laurie's friends who have sex and then are immediately killed afterwards? Is it Tommy and Lindsay, Linda and Bob, Charlotte and Ken, or Kristen and Ted? In Halloween from 1978, the name of Laurie's friends who have sex and are immediately killed afterwards. Tommy and Lindsay, Linda and Bob, Charlotte and Ken, or Kristen and Ted?
We'll go with Tommy and Lindsay on this one.
That was a tough one. No, it was Linda and Bob. Linda and Bob. All right, so far you got three out of six. That's all right, you still got time. Five more. Young woman who starred in Dawn of the Dead from 2004 also appeared in this film from 1988. So the young woman who was the star of Dawn of the Dead appeared in this film from 1988. Was it Adventures of Baron Munchausen, Say Anything, Dead Poets Society, or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? The woman's name was Sarah Pauley.
Run through those choices again.
The young woman who starred in Dawn of the Dead, Sarah Pauley, appeared in this film from 1988. Adventures of Baron Munchausen, Say Anything, Dead Poets Society, or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Yeah, we'll go with Baron Munchausen.
That is correct. She was the lead in Baron Munchausen with John Neville. What is the name of the film that was marketed with the tagline, "If this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead"? Was it Creepshow, The Prophecy, Piranha, or Phantasm?
Let's go with Phantasm on this one.
That is correct. Phantasm, great movie from 1979.
Again, grateful to my dad for the video store. It's like,
oh, I love Phantasm.
It's like I'm going back to all of these different like Laserdisc jackets that I would file.
Yeah.
Picturing what
Phantasm
like,
had the metal ball with the spikes on it. This is a great movie. One of my more liked movies for horror movies of the past few years. In the movie It Follows from 2014. What is not one of the powers of the entity that slowly and methodically follows the lead character after she has sex in order to kill her? It can fly. It is invisible to others. It can appear as any person that she knows, or it's invulnerable. So this is not one of the powers that the entity has in It Follows. It can fly. It's invisible. It can appear as anyone she knows, or it's invulnerable.
D is invulnerable.
That is incorrect. It can fly. It can fly. It cannot fly, but it is invisible, it is invulnerable, and it can appear as anyone she knows. Couple left. It's all right. Now, number 10, The Exorcist from 1973 was the very first horror movie ever to be nominated for an Academy Award for what? Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress, all of the above, or none of the above?
All of the above.
That is correct. All right. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You need these last two. Ready?
I'm ready.
Name the star of Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 1978.
Oh, man. I should know this.
He has a son that's just as popular as he was. And he has a son that was in Young Guns.
Oh, Lou Diamond Phillips?
Incorrect. It's Donald Sutherland. All right. And number 12, in the 1984 movie Nightmare on Elm Street, what actual street does the protagonist attack the main character on?
Maple.
It's Elm Street. You get a WMFO sticker. You get a WMFO sticker. That is our alpha genre quiz for the day.
I'll slap it on someone's bumper on the way out.
That's all right. It's good.
It's great.
And let's do the 10 movies of the week here. So we haven't done this in the last couple shows, so I want to get this one in. So these are the movies that are in theaters, the box office over the weekend. And I don't go to the movies nearly as much. Do you, Frank? Do you go to the movies much anymore?
I don't. I really don't. It's too expensive. It's, you know, you have your choice. If I'm going to spend that type of money, I'll buy it on Blu-ray. But let's be honest, I'm really probably not going to watch it again. So I usually wait for it to come out on cable.
Sure. And I'm kind of the same way. There's a few that, you know, pique my interest and I go out to see them. So let's do what I call, see it, rent it, skip it. It's now showing see it, rent it, or skip it. So either you're going to pay your $15-$20 to go see this movie, or you're going to rent it for $1 at the Netflix. yeah. He's like, I'm going to rent all of it and skip it. And skip it is just, I have no interest in ever seeing this movie.
All right, I'll say if I'm the type of person who would go to the movies, is this a movie? That's how I'll approach it.
Yeah, all right. So this first one is Book Club. It's got a 6.3 out of 10. It's got Diane Keaton and her friends in it. They have their lives forever changed after reading 50 Shades of Grey in their monthly book club. See it, rent it, skip it. I actually like all the people that are in this. I think I would actually, and I surprised a co-host, Derek, a few weeks ago with rent it for this for me. I'll probably rent this one because I like all these old broads.
Who's in it? Diane Keaton?
Diane Keaton, Jane Fonda, Candice Bergen, Mary Steenburgen. Andy Garcia is in it.
Wow, look at all of these.
Don Johnson
today, right? Don Johnson's in it.
Yeah, Alicia Silverstone. She shows up in her Batgirl outfit. She can squeeze back into it again.
For real, huh?
Yeah. Ed Begley Jr. shows up. Oh, Richard Dreyfuss. Nice. It's a curiosity.
Yeah. So my folks saw that in the movie theaters a few weeks ago, and I remember my mother was telling me how funny it was. So
she liked it. Yeah.
Yeah. So they went to see it. So they liked it. I'll probably rent it.
All right. So it's a rent it for book club. Rent it from both of us. Adrift is the next one at number 9. It's been out for 3 weeks. Based on the true story of survival, a young couple's chance encounter leads them to first love, then on the adventure of a lifetime as they face one of the most catastrophic hurricanes in recorded history. It's got a 6.8 out of 10, which isn't a bad score. Action-adventure movie, and it stars Shailene Woody? Woodley? I don't even know who it is. And Sam Claflin. I've never heard of any of them. So go ahead. Let me know what you would think about this one.
Adrift, and they're lost at sea for like 3 weeks. They got to take, you know, they're stuck in a hurricane, all sorts of other stuff like
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of interested in that. Anytime someone's in a predicament that they're going to be in danger, I like to watch that.
Yeah.
You know,
I like a good disaster movie too.
What was that one a few years ago? A bunch of kids jumped off the back of a boat. They forgot to put the ladder inside the water though, and there was a shark, so they couldn't climb back into
open
the
boat. Water. Maybe
open water.
Oh, yeah,
and then The Shallows was another one. So
yeah.
You know, Adrift sounds like it could be like that, but it sounds like it could get that love story twist to it. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. You know, I'll probably watch. If it turns too mushy, I'll shut it off.
Sounds good to me. I'm gonna skip it.
Okay.
I'm gonna skip it. But I do like the idea of the hurricane and seeing a couple people I don't know get wasted.
It's
but
the same score as the one you just said that you would go see.
I know. But I'm gonna skip it. If it were like a couple of like people I knew,
like
I'm like, because
like
I know
Fonda was in it. You'd probably be in it.
Yeah,
like
I'd be ready for that.
Like that, yeah.
But it's like an hour and 36 minutes long. I know that the two of them are gonna survive.
Maybe
the guy will die. Well, the guy will die. Sure. It's not the girl. It's the guy that dies.
You know,
nowadays.
Maybe what if this is like The Crying Game? What if the girl dies at the end? You know?
Oh my God! What if the reveal like, was the guy is a tranny
right.
at the end? That would be awesome.
That's not what I'm saying. No. What I'm saying is like where the end just surprises you.
Yeah.
That's all.
I don't know. It's got a 6.8, so it's not a bad score. Maybe you rent it. I'm a casual rent on that one. I'm going to say skip it or rent.
What if you subscribe to HBO when it happened to be on, so you're not really renting
Well, if
it.
I had the choice between Adrift and Book Club, I'd be watching Book Club.
I'll go with Book Club.
Yeah.
I'll go with Book Club.
Number 8 is The Avengers. In the background is The Avengers still. It's Infinity War. I don't know if you've been following these Marvel movies. I love this movie. It's see it all the way for me. You got to see this in the theater if you've been following the Iron Man stuff.
So here comes my big revelation is aside from the original like Superman movies back in the day, or even when Spider-Man came out back in like the 90s with Tobey Maguire in it, I don't think I've seen a superhero movie.
Yeah, so you won't really know what's going on.
I won't understand what's going on, so I'll probably skip it like I've done with all of the other ones.
It is a great, great movie. You really got to see some of the others. I mean, there's like 10 movies before this one. It's Iron Man and, you know, some other stuff. It's not related to any of the X-Men stuff, but it is the Marvel stuff. So, like Superman, Batman, they're all Justice League, and this is the Avengers with Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy, all that. That's a great movie, too. Out of all of them, I liked Guardians of the Galaxy best, and the first Iron Man's awesome. So, right now, you're a skip it on Avengers.
I'm a skip it.
On Avengers Infinity War.
I'm going to skip it, and I'm going to take my time and go see Adrift.
All right. I got you. How about Hereditary, which is supposedly a horror movie, I guess. It's got a 7.8 out of 10. It's got a person that's like in flames in the trailer.
Okay.
Which is always a big one for me. I love people on fire, especially people I don't like.
Right.
After the family matriarch passes away, a grieving family is haunted by a tragic and disturbing occurrence and begin to unravel dark secrets. 7.8 out of 10 is pretty high. I mean, that's almost as high as the movies that we picked out today so far. So it stars Gabriel Byrne, who's always excellent, and Toni Collette, who I recently found out is married to... who the hell is she married to? I'm forgetting offhand. She's married to Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was talking to one of my friends about that, a Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah. And two Tonys, I like to call them. Tony Collette. I met Tony Shalhoub. He's a monk.
Oh, yeah?
I met him in the vineyard. I was talking to him in a restaurant.
Oh, on your vacation last week?
Not last week, but a few years ago.
All right.
Yeah. Me and Tony Shalhoub go way back. I probably would rather have met Tony Collette.
Maybe you could have him on the show.
I should. I should ask him what he thinks about his own movie. Like Hereditary. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to rent it.
Yeah.
What do you think about this one? I love horror movies. You know that.
Yeah, I don't know. I might check it out. I don't know if I'll rent it, but I'll check it out.
Say it was a buck.
If it was a buck, I'll rent it for a buck.
Yeah, or if it shows up, like, on Netflix or something. If
right,
you got Netflix.
Right.
All right. So we're going to both go rent it for Hereditary. How about Superfly? I didn't even know they were remaking Superfly. His sights are set on retiring. A successful drug dealer sets up one last big deal. It's got a 5.1 out of 10. The original Superfly is great.
Yeah.
I have no interest in seeing this one, though. I'm skipping on Superfly remake. How about you?
Maybe I'd start it. I'm the type of guy who would start it thinking it was super bad, and then I'd get all confused and realize it was super fly.
Mm-hmm. Big Boy's in it, too. The guy that was in Outkast. Remember him?
Who was that?
It was Andre, and there was Big Boy. He was one of the people in Outkast, the rapping duo.
Outkast 2000?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he shows up in it. But I'm a skip.
All right.
You're gonna go for a rent?
Nah, I'll skip it.
You're gonna skip Superfly? All right, scoop it. I can't imagine paying more than like nothing for that to see that. How about Deadpool 2? Like you said, it's a Marvel movie. See the first Deadpool? No, did you miss that one?
No, I missed that one, so I'll probably skip the sequel.
See, I thought the first Deadpool was great, and it's outside of the Avengers stuff. This is actually, it's kind of same universe,
so,
but he doesn't show up.
I heard that these are like almost funny movies in a way.
They are. They're very funny. Yeah, the first one was really funny. He like talks to the audience and stuff, and makes fun of superheroes, and it's pretty cool.
Right.
Has 70s and 80s soundtrack. It's pretty cool.
Oh, so maybe I could go back and watch it probably. So it's not like I need to watch all those other Marvel movies.
No, not for Deadpool. Not for Deadpool.
I actually thought that it was a resemblance to Spider-Man with that guy.
Yeah, a little bit. You know who he was, too? He was Green Lantern originally.
Was he?
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds, right?
Okay, yeah.
He was Green Lantern, and then he's Deadpool. He's pretty good. I like him. I'm going to see it, but I haven't seen it yet. But I'm going to see it.
Are those funny? Like, what the heck was that movie now?
Like a clown?
No. Will it amuse me?
Yeah.
I forget what movie. I forget.
It's good. It's funny. Like the Guardians of the Galaxy ones? Those are funny, too. Those are good. Those were seen standalone, too. So Solo, A Star Wars Story. I have to tell you, I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Right?
I saw it. I hated it. Worst Star Wars movie out of all of them.
Yeah.
I'm a big skip it on this.
Yeah.
You know, whether you like Star Wars or not, it's not worth it.
Because it wasn't Harrison Ford?
No, not at all. The guy does a good job. It wasn't Han Solo.
Okay,
I mean,
right.
The character is like this likable guy,
yeah.
And it's like he's not like the guy that you see in Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, or even Force Awakens. It's not the same guy.
Do you think that they're starting him out like that to build him up to become who he's going to be over the course of the next couple of Star Wars movies that come out? Because this is Ron Howard. This guy usually doesn't mess around. When you look at his history of movies, when you look at...
Apollo 13
and Splash,
right? Little Ronnie Howard?
Yeah, Little Opie Cunningham.
Little Opie Cunningham? No, I think what happened is the movie was done, and they fired the two guys because it was probably more of a comedy than they wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, we have to make it more dramatic and more, intense, and it was just boring to me. It just wasn't Han Solo, Chewbacca's good in it. He did a nice job. The guy that plays Lando's all right, except he wants to screw everything in the movie, including his robot. It doesn't make any sense, It's like, let's make Lando, want to bang everything. It, makes no sense at all.
Well, I don't
remember him being like that in
Empire Strikes Back.
No. All he wanted to do, Empire Strikes Back, he winks at Leia and wants to pick her up,
Right.
It's like, who cares, The old smoothie. All right, so that's Solo, so I'm going to skip it on that one. Were you going to skip it?
Yeah, I'll skip it.
All right, and then let's see. So the next one, number three, let me give you a little taste of what's at number three here. These are the box office top 10 over the weekend. Tag is in its first release. It's a group of friends. It's like five friends, and they try to tag each other for 2 hours of a movie. A group of former classmates organize an elaborate annual game of tag that requires some travel all over the country. Ed Helms, John Hamm's in it, Jake Johnson, Isla Fisher. Nora Dunn shows up in it from SNL. Jeremy Renner, who plays the guy who's never been tagged in 20 years.
Is it a comedy?
It's supposed to be a comedy. It's got a 7.0 out of 10. To me, I don't know, man. I never liked tag. It wasn't a fun game. I mean, everybody played it.
It's like all you had to do was
kick the can.
Hide and do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Or weasel your way around somebody with the moves, You had to jump back and forth and stuff.
I might watch it. I would rent it. I wouldn't see it.
Definitely a rent it on this one.
Does Ed Helms have two movies in the top 10 this week?
I think he does. Yeah. What would be the other one?
I thought you just said his name a few minutes ago.
Did I?
Yeah. when you were going through a list of characters, actors in a movie.
No. He was in Chappaquiddick, but that's not on the list anymore.
Okay.
But no, nothing from the top 10 this week other than Tag.
All right.
He's all right. I mean, I thought, you know, in The Office, you know, you can't beat Steve Carell, and then all of a sudden they're trying to replace him with Ed Helms. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, James Spader came pretty close, but not Steve Carell. Ocean's 8, which I have absolutely no intentions of seeing, remake of or a side project of Ocean's 11, 12, and 13, except there's 8 girls in it.
Right.
You know, which is the new Hollywood thing.
So I just want to make sure I get this right. Mm-hmm. So you want to see Jane Fonda and Brigitte Bardot?
I don't mind seeing them. I don't mind seeing them.
The younger girls who are, you know, pulling off this elaborate scheme like
Sandra Bullock,
like
Minda Kaling, who I hate. I just want to punch her in the face.
Right. You don't think she could be a con?
Rihanna, I could look at for 2 hours. I think.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't pay to do that.
Okay. So who else we have inside that?
Helena Bonham Carter, who is just Tim, what's his name's crazy wife, who he puts in every of his movies.
And we have Rose from the Titanic, right?
Oh no, she's not in it. That's not her, that's Kate Blanchett.
And who is that?
She was like the elf in the Lord of the Rings movies.
I thought Kate Blanchett was Rose from the Titanic.
Oh no, that's Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet.
Yeah, Kate Winslet. I love. I could watch anything with Kate Winslet for like hours on. I'd press repeat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I would pay $30 to see anything with Kate Winslet, but not this movie.
Sandra Bullock, not so much.
No, she's like a guy. She's always been like a guy to me. It's like, you know,
back to Speed.
She's like, yeah, well, she's good in Speed. You know what I loved her in, though? My favorite movie with her was Wrestling Ernest Hemingway. She plays a waitress with Robert Duvall's in it.
All right,
and Richard Harris, and they're two old guys that are growing up in Miami. It's pretty awesome.
Okay.
But yeah, Sandra Bullock now, not so much, you know. And the girl from American Horror Stories is Sarah Paulson. Basically, the only thing, I like Kate Blanchett.
Who's that one who only has one name?
Rihanna.
It's
Awkwafina or something like that. Who the hell is she?
Who is that?
Who's Awkwafina?
AWK.
I think that's probably the Chinese girl, right? Because they have to have somebody from every nationality nowadays, and they all have to be a woman now. So now you have to have every nationality, and you also have to have the movies about, like, Ghostbusters. There's no reason to remake that movie. I don't get it. You know, it's like, it wasn't like Ghostbusters saying anything about feminism. It was a fun movie, you know? But anyway, now I'm a skip it on this one. Hard skip it. How about yourself?
I'll probably watch it. I saw it. I saw the other one. The girls don't follow
me. You go to the movies for that one? Yeah.
No. I won't rent it. I'll watch it when it's on. You know,
you're not going to pay $15 to go see that.
$15.
Is that a matinee price movie? I don't know. You know,
It could be an AARP movie.
Yeah. Incredibles 2 is at number 1.
I'm going to see this in the movies for the simple fact that Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
From Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
There's a voice in it.
He's fantastic. I didn't know he was in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. I love Bob Odenkirk. Yeah. He's fantastic. Incredibles is one of the best Pixar movies, if not one of the best cartoons of all time.
And you know what's amazing is it only took him 14 years to come up with a sequel. You know, you think it would have taken a lot longer.
It's got an 8.4 out of 10, which is pretty damn high, it's a great rating so far.
To put it in perspective, that's how long it took from the last Guns N' Roses album to Chinese Democracy.
Oh, that was awful. Yeah, Axel's a different story. Yeah. You know what, though? I think Holly Hunter, too. I think she's a great actress, and she's always good. She has that saucy voice, though, that I could, like, I like that saucy voice in her Incredibles
Lois.
Character. Like, it's sexy.
Like Lois from Family Guy.
Yeah, it's sexy. Craig T. Nelson always great. It's great.
Like Fran Drescher.
No, not like Fran Drescher. No, I think she's got a sexy voice. Anyway, Incredibles 2, that's a hard yes for me. I'm going to see that one in the theater. I might go see it tonight. I don't know. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know.
Do you know the last movie I saw in the theaters with you, Chris? I'm going to throw a little history out of you.
Was it Titanic?
It was the Titanic.
Yeah,
right?
It was great.
On
it was
opening
Kate
night,
Winslet.
You and I went to go see that.
We did. We held hands. And remember the film
and
broke?
And the film broke halfway through, right?
Yeah, so I wanted to bring that up today, too.
The film breaks. And
during the most critical part,
and I remember,
which is the Titanic is sinking.
It's just starting to sink.
Yeah, it's
and I'm
sinking.
I'm thinking to myself, oh, it's no big deal. The film is pretty
you
much over at this
drop.
Point.
Yeah, you could hear a pin drop.
Almost over. I didn't realize that there was still like another hour and a half after that.
Right.
But yeah, that was fun.
Well, we had to wait, too, like 20 minutes. Then they gave us a soda.
Oh, yeah.
And if you remember right, a lot of people threw the soda.
You couldn't even, I didn't think you could use it. I think it was a coupon that they
gave
you.
No, it was a small soda.
Oh, yeah, small soda.
Yeah, it's like, thanks for the small soda, which cost them 2 cents, you know. We lost the whole rhythm of the movie, which is a great, great movie. I loved how they decked it out, too, and that was in that crappy theater at Alewife. Yeah. But yeah, that was a fun night seeing Titanic for the first time, and we got to see the guy ping off the propeller. The best part of the trailer.
Every time I see that movie, that's what I think about that guy. It's
that poor son of a bitch.
It's like, man, he just got kicked out.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I love Titanic. Another one. I almost suggested doing that one today too. I'm gonna do it another day. But yeah, that's another one of my favorites.
I'll come back for that one because we can do
2 hours
thoughts
on Titanic.
I have my own thoughts around. You know, why couldn't Rose, like, seriously? There was plenty of room for
Jack was in love with him. That was the thing.
She's like, there's no room for you.
He has to be the sacrifice.
She's like spread eagle out there, like catching sun rays or something.
I know. And
it's like,
learning how to ride a horse like a man.
It's like, there's no room for you. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's the top 10 for the week. Now showing. See it, rent it, skip it. I think we covered those pretty good.
Yeah,
in the background, I got Judgment Night. So let's talk about Judgment Night a little bit. I'll just play the trailer for it real quick, and we'll play some tunes to talk about that, and we'll talk about Natural Born Killers in the next couple of minutes here on Watch This.
Nobody is taking dates. It's a bunch of guys going to a boxing match. That's it. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I know your friends. They have the hormones of high school kids.
I'll be home early, okay?
Promise.
What do you say, fight fans?
A night out on the town. A heavy traffic jam.
Tell you something, I'm not going to miss this fight.
And one wrong turn.
We've circled this block about 300 times.
Yeah, enough of this scenic route. What the hell was that?
It's been shot.
They're coming after me.
You gotta get me out of here.
Back off.
We can't just sit here.
Come on.
They got guns, John.
You broke rule number one. Do not steal from me. Oh, boys, rule number two, no witnesses.
Cops are gonna be here any second.
The cops are not coming.
What's up? You punks crazy or something, man?
Chill out, man. We're just looking for some citizens.
Don't move. Don't whisper. Don't even breathe.
These guys don't give up.
Oh, Frank, is this your wife, huh?
I get a wife and a little girl, and I will get back to them tonight.
Let's show these punks what we got.
You better believe it.
You're just another victim. You're just another victim, kid.
Hey!
You're just another victim. Just another victim,
kid. Emilio Estevez, Cuba Gooding Jr., Dennis Leary.
No, Frank, after I kill you, I think I'm going to pay a little visit on that wife of yours.
Judgment Night.
You coming?
All right. Flick number four, Judgment Night. From 1993, we've noticed a trend after you picked your five flicks that
completely
Emilio Estevez is in two of them.
Right.
So you're an Emilio Estevez fan.
Emilio, right? yeah, I just didn't even realize it until we were talking during that last break. I like this movie because it was almost believable, especially in 93, right?
Yes.
It's 93, it's not too long ago.
Right.
But when you think about how technology has changed over the course of 25, 26 years.
Yes.
These guys would have a navigation system. One of them would have a smartphone with
them. Right.
They would have Google Maps. They would have some way of getting out of this neighborhood that they got into.
They basically witness a murder. Right. They go into a boxing match.
Right.
They take their RV off the highway. They witness a murder, and then a gang comes after them.
But after they looped around a few times where had they, again, they had that. So all of a sudden, they witness this murder. Dennis Leary's in this,
Yeah, he does a good job.
Yeah, he's a pretty bad guy.
Plays a bad guy.
What I loved about this movie was the soundtrack. So when you said come up with five movies that have a great soundtrack, obviously The Breakfast Club not so much, but I thought this one did only because it had a lot of the, your favorite hard rock bands with your favorite rap. Like this song. This is
Run DMC and Live in Color.
Yeah.
It's got some great stuff on. It's got Cypress Hill and Helmet, I think, on another one. It was just a great, great soundtrack. This is probably, out of the five, I think this is probably my favorite soundtrack of the five that you picked today. It's just really cool how they mixed the two sounds together.
Oh, absolutely.
In 1993, because these were both hot genres of music.
There were actually a couple of movies that were like this back then. It was tough. It was between this one and Colors. Another one,
Ice-T, yeah.
Which had an incredible soundtrack. Favorite heavy metal with your favorite rap as well.
Yeah.
But Judgment Night, I definitely have to say, you know, it beat it out just because of this, you know, I just love it. You know, it's something that I can listen to whenever. It doesn't sound dated.
You got Helmet and House of Pain together, Pearl Jam and Cypress Hill together, Faith No More and Booyah Tribe together, Slayer and Ice-T, and like we said, Living Color, Run DMC, De La Soul, Teenage Fan Club together, Sir Mix-a-Lot, and Mudhoney,
Freak Mama. That's a great tune on that. That's one that's worth checking out.
Yeah, it's really cool because this is the first time that happened, other than Ice-T kind of doing his hard rock band. You know, it hadn't happened yet, and there was a whole album of this. So it's pretty amazing album. I remember seeing this one actually in the theater too when it first came out.
That's where I seen it.
In 93, in Judgment Night. But yeah, pretty fun movie. It's pretty intense. Like you said, you know, a group of boys going out for the night, and, you know, all of a sudden they get into some major trouble and they don't really plan to.
Right.
So, cool flick. Let's talk about Natural Born Killers just for sake of time here.
Yeah,
you're listening to WMFO here in Medford. So, Natural Born Killers is from 1995. It's 94, actually. Stars Woody Harrelson, directed by Oliver Stone, Juliette Lewis in this. Tell me why you picked this one. This is a crazy movie.
Yeah, so this absolutely. The movie is totally crazy. It's definitely all over the place between, you know, black and white, color, tripping on mushrooms. The cast of characters that's in this between, you know, from guys like Woody Harrelson to Robert Downey Jr. To Rodney Dangerfield, really.
Yeah.
I just thought it was great, but I love the soundtrack because of all the different tunes that's in it. You have some heavy stuff that's on the soundtrack, and then you also have some other stuff. You know, you get your hard stuff, your L7. You have your "I'm Back in Baby's Arms" by Patsy Cline,
right?
And it's just you know, you have Dr. Dre. It's just incredible. Again, it's just the collaboration of everyone who's on this. Leonard Cohen's got a song on this, and so doesn't. Oh my goodness, is the Children's? Can you bring the playlist up again, Chris?
With the soundtrack for Natural Born Killers. Let me see.
There's a children's artist on this that I was very surprised to see, so I had to go back and take a look at it.
Back in Baby Arms, Nine Inch Nails is on here. Bob Dylan, Patti Smyth, Leonard Cohen.
Oh, Dan Zanes.
Dan Zanes.
Yeah, Dan Zanes, right?
Okay, yeah.
So I would take my daughter to school, and we would listen to the kids' plays live, and every now and again, Dan Zanes would come on, and I remember, I said, why do I have Dan Zanes inside my library? And then I realized that he had a song on the Natural Born Killer soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you see this one in the theater? This is a wild movie because it's like an MTV video. I mean, there's nothing more than like 8 seconds long before he takes another shot of something different. It's just all edited.
Yeah. Right. So I did see it at the movies. I started at the Fitchburg State College movie theater.
Oh, yeah. I've been to that one a few times. I saw Jerry Maguire there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. And I got laid after.
Good for you.
Yeah, I know.
Russell
I know.
Powers? North Street.
Yep.
Awesome. But we can talk about that some other time.
Yep. I think that was the story. There's not even much more to talk about. Juliette Lewis is great in this, too. And in the early 90s, too, she was also great in school. So
I think she just come off of California also.
Yeah, in California with Brad Pitt. That's a cool flick. But Woody Harrelson is just so
crazy
and despicable in this movie. But he's so sure of himself.
Yeah.
It's just like, and the way that they present the media and turn them into heroes, you know, it's really an interesting movie to watch.
I remember it got a lot of negative publicity when it came out.
Yeah. I didn't know what to think about it, and I still don't. And I still want to see it again because I didn't get a chance to rewatch it this week before we start talking about it. But it's an interesting movie,
right? I think as we get closer to wrapping this up, that I think when you're 18, 19, 20, 22 years old, and you watch this movie and you watch it a bunch of times, you know, it's one thing. I think if you go back and you watch this movie now, 21 years later,
mm-hmm.
you'd look at it differently, especially if you have kids or whatever. But totally crazy movie, though.
Yeah.
So
had a budget of $34 million, made $50 million. Tommy Lee Jones is great in it too.
When he's the
prison guard, and Robert Downey Jr. pre Iron Man and yes. at the height of his drinking, he's kind of fat and soft in this movie a little bit.
Just the worst accent that you could hear.
Yeah, and it's really violent and crazy, and it was named the 8th most controversial film in history by Entertainment Weekly.
Congratulations.
So Mickey and Mallory and the story of natural born killers. And once again, we are almost out of time. Thanks again to Frank Cotton for coming in with his 5 flicks. And we will do it again. It's Watch This on WMFO here in Medford, Massachusetts. And coming up next is The Big Picture with Derek and Shay. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of Leonard Cohen. Stick around, it's WMFO Medford. Any shout-outs before we go there, Frank?
No, we're good.